Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I found my mother gave me a lot of confidence, and I feel like encouragement is what we all need, you know, learning something or meeting something or anything makes you feel better and more stand out or stood up, and that is really important.
I am so pleased to welcome artist Yurim Goff to the podcast today. Yurim is a British-based ceramic visual artist who comes from Korea, a country with a historic tradition of ceramics, where she was a fashion designer and had been designing high-heeled shoes for over 10 years. She immigrated to England in 2007, the first time she had set foot outside of Asia. Learning English from scratch and being influenced by the radical change in culture, she went back to being an artist, which was always her first calling. Starting with life drawing and experimenting with other media, Yurim found herself drawn to her cultural roots in ceramics, mixing the two. In 2013, she made bowls and sketched live models, drawing directly onto the contoured surfaces, combining the organic hand-molded form of the bowl with the human form of the model. And a couple years later, she began to add imagery to the pieces to extend the narratives that began with the poses, seeking inspiration from what she found in the captured drawings. Her art practice explores the human complex emotions, different feelings and thoughts, and her artwork concerns the expression of the subconscious mind. I'm so excited to talk with Yurim today and hear more about her work, her life and process. Yurim, welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you so much.
I'm really, really happy to you invited me, but yeah, I will do my best.
Yes. And thank you to Diana Gravina from the Procreate Project for introducing me to you and your work. What a pleasure. I know you both are based in the UK. So Yurim, let's get started by having you share something about your childhood that you feel like is still connected to your art and your artist practice today.
Yeah. Okay. Where to start from? I was grow up with my single mother and my mother with in a really surrounded mountain countryside. And my mother was a hairdresser, and she has got a bit of a sense of fashion and, you know, that kind of stuff in that village. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at her all the time with wearing nice clothes and makeups and stuff. But my mom has got a, like, she's a single mom and she loves like having a party and stuff. So when I was young, there are lots of people come and have a party, and I could not really focus myself and then could not sleep.
Yeah.
But when I do some drawings, I could able to focus. So that makes me feel like very into drawings or paintings, those kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I was age 6 years old, my teacher noticed that I draw something like ocean, inside the ocean, and then she found it is really, really good, and me to go into the, you know, competition, and I practiced a lot, but I wasn't really enjoyed because I was really young and I really wanted to do like something creative, but that point the teacher taught me like, oh, you practice this certain things again and again and again, and then I was like found lack of interest, I think. Mm. But anyway, in general, I really loved art, and I draw my friends in the school like break time. I mm-hmm. say, oh, can you pause, you know, stop in yeah. my front. I started to sketch my friends' portraits, and I loved it. Mm. So that's the thing. And then I love it in general, like art. Like I was singing, I liked music and writing or dancing. And even I won a like a slogan competition.
So what?
I like it, make it really short word, like yeah. a warning or like that kind of things. So which is still, I really enjoy making my art titles because, you know, I feel like I'm good at it.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So art was, you know, basically all everywhere with me mm-hmm. like that. You know, it's no art is not only about sketch or drawing, isn't it? It's all about, you know, the yeah feelings, I guess.
Yeah, the way you kind of move through the world.
Yeah, so yeah. my emotion expressed more inside the drawing and sketches, and then I release my like tensions or stressed stress things. Yeah.
And Urim, you. When you were living in Korea, you became a fashion designer. Is that right?
Yeah. So the thing is, I really wanted to go to university for art. So I practiced a lot during the secondary school or through whole like school life. After school, I went to school club for like drawing and painting and stuff. But unfortunately, my mom basically didn't have enough money to send me, and then in Korea, particularly in that time, even you are really good at it, mm-hmm. They are refused because of the family situations or like those kind of things, and I felt really disappointed. But on the other hand, okay, that's it. You know, I like fashion in that my, you know, teenager age.
Right.
And I'm really keen on to like learning about fashion. So I went to fashion school for a year.
Hmm.
And I learned lots of, you know, like jewelry, accessories and total accessories, basically.
Okay.
And yeah, after that, I could able to started work when I was 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do after you graduated? What was your job?
So my job was, basically I didn't have a really nice CV, for example. I didn't went to university, so I could not get a nice brand company job. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, like industrial, like they make shoes, for example, and then I was working for designer for them.
Okay.
Which I was dreaming to be becoming like a fashion, like a brand designer.
Right.
But it was impossible to reach that point because I was just started. But then 3 years later, I got a job in clothing brand. And then I was working for a total accessory designer, but I particularly liked the shoe design. After that, you know, I worked in a shoe companies and stuff, and then I found myself I feel like I'm kind of ready for set up all my business. So when I was 25, I was self-employed because I designed, and for the for the like Japanese companies, and I sold lots of my designs, and then I set up my own company, and then I was carry on to work, but it's wow. like everything was
That's amazing. I love that you have this whole background in fashion and design and being an entrepreneur. Like you started your own business and were putting, you know, your works out there. All of that, you know, is so related to being an artist now, right?
Yes, I think so. I particularly noticed myself when I was started. For example, I have some ideas, and then the ideas, like images, like strongly affected my visualizing, you know, if I'm making some project and then it's really good. And then the images I print and then put on my wall everywhere. Like, you know, when I was working in fashion, I did lots of, you know, fashion trend maps on the boards and stuff. So it's like exactly the same job where I did when I was did. And then I still carry on doing this stuff, which is amazing because I love fashion. So I can't just, I thought, you know, fashion and art is completely different, but actually, fashion, we have a trend, and the art, I think I found it has got a trend as well. And then also I'm really interested in like current issues, which is connected with all like trends, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, my art has got a fashion still inside, you know, the clothing when I'm, you know, dress up some models, that fashion kind of things is really, really connected with
it. Yes. Me. So tell me a little bit about your journey leaving fashion as a job and, you know, coming back to your roots in a way of connecting with making art, and the journey into making ceramics. Curious about like kind of how you got your footing as a fine artist, as a ceramic and drawing based artist rather than working in fashion.
I think there is definitely something different, but when I draw, like designing something, shoes, for example, I designed sketches. I was so loving sketching it or like make it beautiful, and but there was some problem was like the drawing itself is too beautiful, and someone who make making it, and I explained to them, you know, how to make it, which one to make, and blah blah blah. I explained everything, but at the end of the sample came out disappointing. Mm-hmm. Better than my drawing, and then everyone afraid to, you know, look at my drawing because, you know, they can't make it better than my drawings or paintings, and then stuff. So that was fun. Now the ceramic, when I draw, it's a little bit more like, if I say the design, the drawing lines, it was precise and the really perfect lines and clean lines. But compared to that, I do now more rough. Mm-hmm. So I used to practice drawing using my left hand because right hand is so get used to drawing like a really clean lines, and then I really didn't like, and then I used the left hand to practice a little bit more like arty lines, if I say.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the material I use, the ceramic material is, when it's bisque fired, it's quite rough surfaces. So I don't have to worry about like, oh, whether it's clean lines or not. It's becoming a lot really rough lines anyway. Mm.
Yeah, so there's a lack of control. It can't sort of be that perfect way that you drew it. So
Yeah, so that's why, you know, when I started drawing on the ceramic, I was like, oh my God, this is really nice.
It's
And then also I really like with the pencils drawings, and I found the ceramic pencils, which is really, really like a charcoal in a way. when I draw it and then I rub it with the fingers, and then the feels like you're touching like earth or like something concrete. But I loved it. Yes.
Where did you learn ceramics?
Basically, when I moved to England from Korea already 15 years ago, I went to pottery class in about 5 years later, actually, because for 5 or 6 years I was been quite depressed because I suddenly felt I am, how can I say, retired, because I stopped my job and moved to England, which was Bristol. And I was that time, you know, married with an English man. And I decided to living in England. I was really brave enough to decide to live in England without knowing the cultural things and then languages. Yeah. So for five to six years, I was really struggling because I was like a fashion designer in Korea, working every day 9 till midnight, even. And then suddenly moved to England, and I didn't have a job. I didn't have a friends around. I didn't have family, and the English weather, it was in winter as well. And I was like, oh, depressed. But I never felt what is depressed is.
Yeah.
And because in Korea, the light is not different between summer and winter light, and 1 hour different. But here it's like four o'clock in the evening, it's like it's becoming too dark and gloomy. Anyway, so for 6 years, I was I was like doing lots of try to do lots of other things, like went to like drawing classes or meeting people for art, you know, group art, or went to wood carving, wood turning, and I loved them. But then at the end, I went to clay pottery class. I was absolutely falling with love, in love with it, like when I touched it. So I was but I was pregnant.
Okay.
I was pregnant. And I was there doing pottery for the first time. And then on the wheel, I was like, it was felt really calm me down. I was like, happiest moment there. And then teacher said, oh my God, Yurim, you're so good at it. You know, Korea is very famous for the pottery. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. To be honest, I didn't know that. And then she told me.
Oh, your teacher said that. She said Korean. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I was, and then she said, you have the Korean pottery blood inside you. I can feel it. And then I was like, oh, this is it. This is the thing, the moment I was wanted to, you know. Anyway, so.
Well, and you were homesick, you know, you were like, I'm sure that, you know, just finding the medium that spoke to you, that you felt naturally good at, but that also connected you to your heritage and your culture when you were so far away. Like, I'm sure that was an inspiring moment.
Yeah. And myself really proud because. I'm Korean, and when I hear that somewhere like in the UK, that makes me feel really great, and that's why probably I was more into ceramic.
And it's funny how teachers can really influence. I mean, you already talked about the teacher when you were 6 years old too.
Yes.
And now this ceramic teacher who spoke affirmations to you, and it really made a difference, you know?
It is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I found my mother gave me a lot of confidence, mm-hmm. I guess, in a way. And I feel like encouragement is what we all need, you know, learning something or meeting something or anything makes you feel better and more stand out or stood up, and that is really important.
Yeah, as women, as artists, as mothers,
yes,
you know, encouragement and support is really, really essential.
Yes, yes. Mm. So, as I said, I was pregnant when I was doing that. And, you know, obviously, a few months later, I gave birth, my child. And
how many years had you been in the UK at that point?
Oh, in that point, I was been 6 years.
6 years. Okay. So what was that like, giving birth, like, you know, going through pregnancy and giving birth in a country that is not, you know, your own?
Yeah. Well, for the beginning, when we married, just married, and then for 3 years, everyone asked, oh, are you not going to have a baby? If you have a baby, it's going to be lovely. And then you can meet lots of moms and stuff. So you can, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I feel like, no, I couldn't speak even English. I don't know about this culture. And I feel struggling myself a bit into this life at the moment. So I was really feel like not agreed. I couldn't agree myself with others, you know, to encourage me to, you know, having a baby. And mm-hmm. then also I felt like baby is just coming for naturally, not I'm not making for unusual way or, you know, not in that way. So in a way, I haven't had a pregnant for 5 years, even I didn't use anything to mm-hmm. stop it.
Yeah. maybe it was good timing so you could really get your feet under you. And it's funny how people were telling you that you needed a child to engage in community. And, you know, it's like, well, I'm a person right here. Like, why can't I don't know. I do feel like it can be hard to connect with people, and that parenting is like something that bonds people because you have this shared interest. But it's like, why do we think we have to wait till we have kids to, you know, really be a part of community? We don't.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So I was feeling the most important for me is I am exist.
Mm-hmm. And yes,
I like my life better. And then when my life is settled and okay, I can do something else now, then there is a gap for it, you know?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I didn't have any space for that time. But naturally, five years later, I just naturally had a pregnant, which was actually perfect timing. I thought that was great timing. And my pregnancy, I was really happy because the timing was right.
Yeah.
You see? Good. And yeah, so I did really enjoy my pregnancy. Lots of people saying, you know, I'm fit or, you know, slim in a way. But when I was pregnant, everyone asked me, do you have like twins in your belly?
How old is your child now?
Now it's 9 years old.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you really started ceramics when you were pregnant. So you've been doing ceramics for 9 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful for my daughter, actually. Yeah. I feel like when she was in my belly, and when she was, when I was breastfeeding, I have to say that was the crazily creative moment. I was imagining a lot of things. And one of the things I was imagining was like, I really like ceramic, and I wanted to make a pile of balls next to me and bring it to the live drawing session, and I can draw inside in front of live model and draw, sketch. That was that like imagination for me to like make myself a bit more satisfied in a way, you know.
Yes, I love that. I love that, because when you're breastfeeding or caring for a child,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times you can't physically do the things you want to do, but you can sit there and think about it.
Exactly. But the thinking is, you know, as you know, all I think almost of people experienced about when you imagine that actually becoming aware. And I started that literally after I had a little bit of a time and go to the live drawing session, and then brought my balls, and then I sketched it and tested it, and oh my God, it's working.
Yeah, you were like, I've been here before in my brain.
yeah, exactly. So it was like very naturally just started like, that way.
I love that, Yerim. I love that so much. And I love this idea of, you know, these two paths of transformation that really changed your identity starting at the same time, right? You became a mother and gave birth to a daughter, and then you found your way to ceramics. And now, you know, that's what you spend your time doing, is making these gorgeous ceramics that combine your background in fashion and drawing, but really what you're making is ceramic objects. So it's just really interesting to think about the timing of all of that.
Yes, it is. It is really interesting. And also a really interesting thing is I like a physical, there's people need the physical works. For example, one side I do like physically, you know, making by my hands, like making ball shapes, and then it's quite hard sometimes, I found. But then the other way is like thinking, and then create some project and using my brain more on the other side. And then so I feel like it's really balanced for me to do both of the physical and then non-physical, you know.
Yes, I love that. I love that idea of you know, and you're keeping yourself stimulated, right? Like you kind of were talking earlier about how you would get bored with like certain things, and, you know, using your other hand, and you would kind of keep trying to stimulate yourself, right? With these things that you sort of mastered. And now you have this practice that's really balanced between the fine tuned, like more, you know, type A thinking. And then you have this like messy physical thing that you're doing with the ceramics. I really like just thinking about that, and how it seems like your studio practice has really come together to complement your personality and your interests.
Yeah, exactly. So I really like combining lots of things, because whenever I experienced something, and then that experience became in my work, like for example, I recently liked like crystals, it's like put crystals on my work or like stitches. Those kind of things. I personally like gold, so I put gold on it. So it's like everything, you know, what I experienced and then becoming, put in my work.
Is it really happening? Are we finally able to do this? Friends, we are thrilled to share that we are hosting our second in-person retreat, woo, in the mountains of North Carolina this May. Come join us Friday evening, May 27th, through Monday morning, May 30th. That's Memorial Day weekend, 2022. The weekend will be a well-balanced mix of workshops, artist talks, hiking, rest, great food, and you guessed it, incredible conversation. I can't wait to sit around a fire on a rocking chair and just enjoy getting to know all of you. We are going to hear from some incredible presenters. Actually, I almost can't believe that I got these crazy awesome folks to agree to come and share with us. Coulter Fussell will be there, Isadora Stowe, Barbara Campbell-Thomas, Chloe Alexander, Amanda Brazier, and Sarah Sidhoff will all be offering something dynamic and inspiring to those of us who are coming. This retreat is really for you. It is about us, about coming together, networking, sharing our interests and our joy as a community, but it's also just about you. I know how much it means for artists like you to take this time for yourselves. It is so important and so necessary. And we really believe in doing this work of providing an opportunity for you to connect with others and restore yourself. By the way, you don't have to be an artist mother to join us. We've already got several badass female artists who aren't mamas who are coming, and we just can't wait to meet you. So come join me and my incredible band of retreaters in the mountains in May. Full retreat details are available on our website, including the list and descriptions of all workshops we'll be doing, information on the retreat locations and accommodations, as well as information about our scholarship opportunities and funding. Go to artistmotherpodcast.com/retreat to find it all, and please email me with any questions that you have at artistmotherpodcast@gmail.com. Join us in the mountains. Can't wait to see you there. Well, tell me a little bit more about, the last 9 years sort of finding your way as an artist. Like you started ceramics, but you were a beginner, even though you had, a lot of experience in design and drawing and fashion, but you still had never, been an artist, quote unquote. So I just want to know a little bit about how you kind of built up your career as a ceramic-based artist and what that time in your life was like, because you also had a new baby and a young child.
Okay, so it's actually a really good question, because I always wanted to say those things, because as I said, I didn't went to university for art, and right. I went to fashion instead. But that's one of the hardest things, maybe, if anyone like wanted to becoming an artist, but there are no background, nothing there. And then it's really hard to start, obviously, if you graduate to the university, and then there are lots of people around you and then help you or support you. So in that point, and then also I was ceramic, ceramic is more craft than art, I guess. But then my difference, ceramic and art, how can I say, the difference is my work is more fine art in a way.
Absolutely.
So I could able to apply lots of competitions. So what I found is the competitions is really great for the beginning. So people, if you're lucky, you can get it. But even if you couldn't get it, but the judge is, they noticed your work, several this place or that place, and then noticed and then like your art, then they more likely accept your art to promote to some other places or contact you. So the beginning was like that, and then also I applied some of the art fairs.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly the other art fair was a really great deal, and I showed myself in the individual art fair, and people come and see and talk. So that kind of thing was I started. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I mean, those things only available for me, basically.
Yeah. That's amazing, though, I think that's great advice. Like, if you don't feel like you have a community or a network, to start to build one for yourself by getting your work in front of judges or, you know, people who have networks, right? So, like, actually you strategizing and using juried competitions as a way to make a name for yourself. I think it's really smart. Did you have any artist friends that were, you know, making these suggestions to you, or was this just stuff that you looked up on your own and, you know?
Basically, I looked up on my own because I had some artist friend now. They are becoming quite well-known in London.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because I couldn't speak English much better than that. It's really difficult to understand and then so on. But when I was young, I had my own business, so I kind of figured it out how to do it, how to start. And I think I started okay. And then people noticed. But I'm still keep carrying on to apply competitions or art prize still now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the work you're making now. I have your website up and I'm looking at some of the ceramics, and I mean, the drawings are just amazing. You talked about incorporating stitching and gemstones and glitter, and just all of that is just such a interesting and beautiful part of your language as an artist. Can you talk more about the figures? Like, how do you decide who you're drawing and where do these people or, you know, these figures come from? Like, how are you kind of making the decisions about the narratives that you're telling in your work?
Yeah, so recent work is called The Gender Fluid. And when I started doing that ideas, it was like 2019, end of that, and I was really fascinated about, you know, people who has got a non-binary genders, and for example, they have a male body but they are confidently and loving wearing makeups and dresses, and just only, you know, I can't move my eyes out from them.
Yes.
It's just really fascinating to look at it. And also, I was a fashion designer, so when they look at their fashion or like makeup, it's like blow my mind.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And it drew me into engaging with that concept, you know, I always interested in. And when I started, I found, I couldn't find, you know, any kind of non-binary models.
Yeah.
And I started with a model who I know, and it was absolutely amazing. And then after a few works I made, actually, it was Limoges, in France, Limoges. There were one of the curators asked me, oh, I really like your gender fluid style, but not sure in genitals, and make for 9 to 10 pieces work for Limoges exhibition this year, actually.
Wow.
And I was like, Oh, wow. I want you to carry on, but this gave me motivation to do something special. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, I really wanted to find the real gender fluid models mm-hmm. that I can, you know, combine with my work, but it's real, you know, it's not fake, you know?
Right.
And I did a kind of podcast, and then I met one of the performer artists. And he does like live drawing models sometimes as well. So I asked him like, oh, can you do my model for me? And then he said yes. And then I organized like, and then also I asked them about, you know, do you know anyone else or your friend who is interested in it? And then they gave me lots of great contacts, and then I contacted, and then I've got like 5 amazing models. And so I started to, you know, draw them into my balls, and the figure I choose, when I go to their Instagram, I'm learning about their life and their personalities and what they are thinking, and read about what they are posting about their daily life. Kind of research them. It's completely feel like I wanted to understand them more. And then, so before the model comes, I make a theme for the person who I'm gonna meet, and several costumes ready for it. And then when they come, and I ask to wear this and that and try on some other clothes, and when they pose, I ask some specific pose now, but before, when I went to the live drawing sessions, I just draw model and model and model and put some image on top. But now I have a theme, so I made the theme, and when they come, and then I draw fit into the, you know, the theme I made.
Yeah.
And then I just to this is like everyone probably not notice if I don't say it's live drawing. I draw live drawing in front of a real person in front of me, directly inside my ceramic balls.
Yeah.
And I said that, you know, people, wow, I didn't know that. Well, that, how do you do that? You know, it's amazing. It is really amazing. I really like it because I can't draw. I have to say, I am not interested in drawing like from the pictures and stuff, because right. for me, it's like dead pieces. I really like person who is alive, a person in front of me, and then giving all the energy and emotions and feelings. Even we are not talking each other, I feel the shakiness and the nervousness, or sometimes really sadness, and all sorts of those human feelings just give me more stimulates and provoking. And at that time, I just to draw the from the start and end, there is nothing stopping me, just to go for it and enjoy that energy.
I love that so much. It's about the connection that you have with the person and experiencing them, not you trying to perfectly draw them or anything. It's you're wanting to, you know, get their essence. I love that. When you are doing these sessions, are you drawing right on the ceramics, or are you drawing on paper and then you kind of take those drawings into your studio and
No, so I, as I said, I draw directly inside the rough bowl, which is a bisque fired.
And okay. So you have to come prepared
with,
you know, the bowls ready to go at a certain point. And then, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I normally prepare like 4 to 5 pieces of bowls, but which is like all different shapes. And once when mother is in front of me, like sitting or standing, I fit into that shape in one of the ball, which is goes well with that pose.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose one of the ball, and I just to sketch it directly in a, it's not flat.
Right.
Which is much more exciting me, it's like challenging. I love challenges. Come on.
Oh, wow, Yurim, you're amazing. You are really inspiring me. A couple more questions before we wrap up. Can you tell me a little bit about what like a week in your life or a day in your life looks like? I'm kind of interested in how you're balancing your work as an artist with, you know, being a mom, and what are some other things like what do you do in a typical day? You know, is your studio in your home? Kind of tell me a little bit more about the logistics.
Yeah. I think I'm quite lucky at the moment because I have a studio in my back of the garden. So I don't have to commute. And then also my daughter is now 9 years old, which is a little bit more independent.
Mm-hmm.
But still in the morning, I have to bring my daughter to school. And once it's done, I just really, really didn't want to carry on the housework in the morning. So I just said, just quickly eat something and then go straight into the studio.
Yes.
And I work mostly full-time, actually full-time job artist. I sent my daughter to the 3 times a week after school club, so I don't have to collect until 6 o'clock. So I'm just working until then. But still, you know, it's difficult. It's really difficult because lots of things, you know, to do, like not necessary for myself. It's for my family. Right. I have to spend some of the time for it.
Yep.
Yeah. But as I said, I'm balanced now, because before, from the beginning when I was like having a baby, it was much harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the pretty good start. If I'm having now baby in my like career now, I think I have to do really, really full-time work.
Right.
And probably it wouldn't fit, and probably I'm just crashing to and mad at myself and then screaming. But
yeah, it was good timing for you because you were growing as an artist and you were just kind of starting, and you had a little more time to grow things during those really early years. And now you're like, how would I do this? It's hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's really hard, but I don't have a plan for any more children.
you have a plan to be a full-time artist. So
yes, I am. And I think it is difficult, but you know, I cannot imagine if I'm a single mom, it would be much more harder. But now I have a husband and my daughter is helping me as well. I mean, they are both really big support of my art and stuff. So I think I'm pretty lucky in a way.
Mm. Oh, I'm so glad that they're supportive. And I think about your daughter and, you know, what it's like for her to have such a creative and interesting mom. And, you know, I don't know. I love the idea of thinking about what our kids experience as, you know, they grow up with parents who are artists. And, you know, even for your daughter, like seeing the work that you're making and your interest in the gender fluidity project that you're doing, and, you know, maybe getting to know the people, like just the exposure to, you know, the diversity of experiences that you're bringing into her life and
I'm not really sure about that, actually. I have to say, I just didn't want to my daughters come into my studio.
Oh, I love it.
I used to say no, because the subject I choose to create is a little bit more vibrant, or a little bit more freaking high in a way. I don't know. At some point, you know, I want to, and then myself, I'm a bit shy about showing all my ideas on the wall and easily can see. And then still, my daughter came inside my studio and then looking at the wall pictures and then, oh wow, mommy, what's that? And then I was feeling like a bit like a shy to explain all my thoughts,
yeah,
because of the her age and a little bit more concerned about whether, but I'm just let her do whatever she wanted to look at, what thought, think as well. But so she's not allowed to come in my studio much, and I'm so sorry about that, because lots of people are thinking, you know, I'm an artist, and then probably you educate your child, like give her more like opportunity, for example, like you give her play with the clay or play with some other materials and painting and mess. But I said no, I'm not doing that at all. And just to, I don't want to share my studio, first of all, but second of all, I just to give her more freedom. Mm-hmm. For example, anything limited, that's not bad things. So for example, if you have lots of things around, it's more harder to imagine using what to do, for example. But, you know, when you have limited choices, you more create, and then find out how I can do this in these limitations and stuff. So I just give her a little bit more space to her alone to think about what's the art and what she wanted to do it. I don't teach her anything like, oh, drawing is start with this or that. Right. I don't say anything. Just to give her some object, for example, when she was there, and then apple, for example, and then I say, oh, draw it or paint it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it. And then I'll just do it. And then she just started. And then at the end, she made incredible ones. So I feel like this is it. I don't want to touch your soft brain to make like a fixed, you know, boring stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of, you know, overstimulation, or they're just being too much, and and then the child, you know, they aren't creative, they don't need to be, because they can just you know, kind of engage with what's there, whereas when there's not as much there, they kind of, the sky's the limit in terms of what they create. Yeah, and I think there's so many artists, parents who don't want their kids in their studio, you know. I mean, really, when I had my first kid, because I have three kids.
Oh my God.
I know, it's a lot. But he was in my studio a little bit, just because he was with me all the time and I didn't really have childcare. But now it's like, no.
No way.
Like, this is where I work, you know, like this is.
There was one point I could not have choices because the pandemic and lockdown situation. I have to say, I have to make space for her in my studio through homeschooling, and I was working. But she did a really great job all by herself, so, you know, following the homework and
good.
I had a quite enjoyed time with her, something create together as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it's the lockdown, you know, finished, bye-bye.
Yes. Yes, get out of here. Yurim, what are some goals that you have for yourself? What are some big dreams for your art career?
My big dreams, It's not easy question for me, but I have to say my big dreams is, it's not related art maybe, but I am always wanted to be happy, mm-hmm. and I wanted to find what's the happiness,
mm-hmm.
and that's the things, you know, what I wanted to. So most of the time I'm quite like emotional, and mm-hmm. I work with emotion into my artwork. So yeah, finding happiness is my mm-hmm. goal. But when I'm happy and when I create a happy, and when I'm seeing my creation and looking at that and then I'm happy, then everyone, same, I think, probably other people looking at my art and then seeing the happy or sadness or some kind of things. So I don't know. Is it too abstract?
No. I mean, I think other people could come up with other goals and ideas, but at the end of the day, isn't that really what we all want, is, you know, to find joy and experience peace and pleasure and happiness, right?
Yes. So I'm quite lucky to have, I realized how much my job is important for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when I was young, job was, I loved the fashion job, but also I was wanted to desperate to making money as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like it's not about only money. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, if you don't have a job which is you really like, then your life is really unhappy and more tired doing making money or doing some jobs which is you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm pretty lucky. I found early that job is not about making money.
Yeah.
What
a great answer. Thank you so much. Okay, we always close our interviews with 5 questions.
Oh, okay.
I know, it went fast, didn't it? we could probably talk all day, but you know, that's when you have a lot in common with artists who are parents, right?
Invite me another time.
I will. We'll do part 2. Yurim, tell me, who's your biggest art crush?
There are lots of great artists, but I have to say social media is biggest my art crush, because whenever I look at and research or look around images, I just can't believe so many provoking images that like stimulate me and then give some ideas to next project, and I just love it, and that's my biggest one.
Awesome. Okay, what is your favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on?
Wow, so I have to say, and realistically, I was thinking, oh, I want to go to desert or high mountains or jungles, but I'm not brave enough now. I'm getting all them scared. But yeah, I was thinking maybe Tulum, Mexico. I really want to go.
Yeah, that's a good one, especially in the winter. Good place to go.
Yeah, and then they have lots of like, how can I say, some hippies. I like the, you know, meditation.
Or yes. Singing. Yoga.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. you want to go be with the hippies in Tulum. I love it.
Yeah. And then I love one of the musicians living in Tulum. I really wanted to see him.
Who is it?
He's called Lum, A-U-M. I don't know his true name.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
Tell me a book or a film that has been a big inspiration to you.
I have to say, film and books, they are amazing. I love experienced in the film screen myself of becoming the, like, I am the person.
Yeah.
But the book, I think this book changed my life a bit. It's called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this book is really, I mean, I don't have a religion.
Religion,
yeah. But if I believe, I believe myself, and this book explains, you know, how strong, how powerful when you believe something and then it just literally becoming real. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like about manifestation, isn't it? That book, like, kind of believe, like putting a vision.
Yes.
Out there, and
yeah, yeah, but that's exactly what I do still.
Yeah.
Just learned a lot from it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. What a great suggestion. Okay, what is your favorite meal?
Oh, recently I like pork and kimchi rice.
Nice.
Korean food.
Korean food.
Lots of Korean food.
Okay, and who would you like to give a shout out to who supports you and your work?
Biggest support in my life at the moment is my husband.
What's his name?
Julian Goff.
Julian.
Yeah, he's helping a lot about my art career because sometimes my English is not perfect, but his English is, so he helps a lot, you know, writing. And so I'm really pleased. And then also my daughter, of course. My daughter. If she,
what's your daughter's name? What's your daughter's name?
Juno Goff.
Juno, I love that name.
I know.
Oh.
My goddess. She's my goddess.
Yes, I love that. Juno.
I think she more encouraged to me being an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. And then also, you know, Victoria Grant, who is a hat designer. I did a collaboration, some exhibition show with her. She's the biggest support. And then also Amanda Ara, who is loving my art and saying lots of good things about it for my art career. So
awesome. Well, Urim, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we will definitely get you back in front of the Artist Mother community. We'll do a artist talk. Maybe we'll do a part two of interview. But what a pleasure. You are a big inspiration. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, 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 so much.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.